It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Hello, hello, here is Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. We are here in the studio making ourselves at home on this beautiful day of Monday. And because it's Monday, we are in the studio and we have our guest. But first, I would like to introduce our co-host today. We have Maria, originally from Venezuela. Good morning, Maria. ¿Cómo está?
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. We have also Clara or Clarita from Spain. ¿Cómo estás, Clara?
Muy bien. Very, very well. Happy to be here today with you both and with our guest.
Thank you. And you have also Alina, which is me. I'm originally from Romania. And I'm so happy today that we have as a guest Belinda, who is originally from New Zealand. I met Belinda a few years ago. We also spent New Year's Eve together, which was amazing. We had fire and we had lots of beautiful food and was quite multicultural. And I'm so excited to have her here today. So Belinda, she's originally from here in New Zealand, but she was born or raised in Raglan, and she can tell us more about that. But she was just moved in New Plymouth, and I was thinking, what a great thing to have somebody who moved from somewhere else in New Plymouth, and how she makes herself at home here in this beautiful town. So welcome, welcome, Belinda, and looking forward to know more about you. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, Elena. Yeah, thank you for the welcome. So I feel quite honoured to be a Kiwi here amongst people from Spain, Venezuela, Romania. Yeah. it's neat,
right? Mm-hmm. And we always start as a question like, when did you move to New Plymouth, and what made you move here in this beautiful town?
Oh, okay. We'll just jump right in. So, moved to New Plymouth because my partner lives here, and we were doing the drive for nearly 3 years. So, he was driving to Raglan nearly every weekend, and I would drive to New Plymouth once a month. You know, checking the surf if the surf was good. Oh yeah, I'll come to New Plymouth this weekend. So, yeah. And then we decided, after spending a couple of years together, that we wanted to be together. So. Nice. The next step, of course, he said, well, would you consider coming to live in New Plymouth? I think it was a mutual decision. His work is here, and I was going to start again with what my offerings are here in New Plymouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice. How long ago did you move?
In January.
Okay, so yeah, this year, very recent. Mm-hmm. And how are you finding it? Are you noticing any changes from Raglan to New Plymouth in terms of lifestyle?
The soil's a little bit cooler. I'm discovering that now that it's wintertime. So I love gardening, and I've been planting things in the garden that I would usually plant in winter time and could grow well in Raglan, and they're a little bit slower here. They're still growing, but what I do love is the soil here. The soil is really quite different from Raglan. We have this sort of clay loam in Raglan that takes a lot of nutrients to put into the soil to get things to grow, but my gosh, here in New Plymouth, it's this beautiful, dark, rich volcanic soil, and you just plant things and they grow. So I'm enjoying that.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Do you love gardening, or do you do gardening for work as well?
Oh, no, I do it for love. I love to grow food mainly. I love to grow most of the vegetables at home. So my partner has a lovely big garden. That was another bonus that I saw straight away. Mm. And I've been slowly converting that. And since I've moved here in January, I've really got a good crops growing. So it's mainly just to feed the family and, to be connected with the nature out in the garden.
Mm-hmm. So what's growing now? What's the season now for?
Well, I've got I planted in late summer carrots and beetroots and put the seeds in directly around my tomato plants. Now the tomato plants are out and the carrots and beetroots are they're like front stage, so they're going really well. I also have daikon radishes and parsnips. I've got peas that have just come up, which was a little bit of a trial. I thought, oh my gosh, will peas grow? But they have. They're about 1 inch above the ground now. So, yeah, wow, peas coming up, amazing. And they'll be on display on the front trellis on our front fence. So when the pea flowers come up, they'll be there. But, yeah, I've also got out in the back garden lots of rocket and lettuces. We've actually still got some pepper plants, some capsicum plants that amazingly still growing. So we've got quite a little raised bed garden out the back, and I was just out there this morning taking a walk around, and there's the neighbour's tree where Kereru lives, and he's often watching over me as I'm gardening, and then swoops in and comes and gets the cherry guavas from our garden. So yeah.
what an amazing way of making yourself at home in New Plymouth, right? Planting your own garden and eating from the soil. And
bringing all my seeds with me. So I've got quite a big seed collection. And absolutely, Alina, my partner's been really supportive with that. And he built me a new big raised garden on the front lawn, because I said to him, that front lawn is a really sunny spot, a garden would go really well there. And he said, well, we've got raised beds out the back. I said, yeah, but not big enough for the tomatoes, they take a lot of space. So we designated a big raised bed garden on the front lawn for tomato plants.
I love tomatoes, so I will come to you and take some.
Got one of the varieties of heirloom tomatoes that I've got is called a Romania.
Oh, is it?
I may need a class with you, because my tomato plants died, and capsicum as well. So, I need some tips from you.
We can sort that out later, Maria.
It's because you were talking about the seeds, and when you come from somewhere else, you bring your own seeds, you know, and you bring your own plants and you plant it in a new place. Mm-hmm. How was that for you, you know, moving to New Plymouth? And because I imagine you live in Raglan. Are you born there, or
no.
Where is your original?
How I was actually born in Turangi, so yeah, in the centre of the North Island. Mm-hmm. Yes, but we moved when I was a baby. So
in Raglan?
No, we moved. I moved to Western Australia with my parents as a young child at the time, and then we moved back to New Zealand when I was 10 years old. Lived in the Bay of Plenty and got into gardening from an early age. So mum and dad had a veggie garden. I was always out in the veggie garden. My grandparents had a veggie garden, and I was always out. And my grandparents, when I'd go to their house, I would just go straight into the garden, see what I could find to eat.
That's good. Talking about community, how you find the community here in New Plymouth? I mean, people are different from Raglan, or how they you feel welcome in here?
I love it. I was living in Raglan for 20 years, and I found when I first came to New Plymouth, I felt the vibe of people were more like Raglan was 20 years ago. So Raglan's become quite diverse now and quite busy, particularly in the surfing community. So when I first moved to Raglan, I was part of the Sea Dogs. We called ourselves Surf Coach at the Raglan Area School, which was a group of parents and teachers who would teach the 8 to 10-year-olds before they started out in the Surf Academy. The surfing, people were polite, easygoing, and really joyful in the surf. So we'd celebrate each other's waves and things like that. And that kind of slowly changed over the years, and Raglan now has become quite busy in the surf, and people are sort of not as polite, and they're hungry for waves, and seems quite dangerous even with so many boards out in the water, particularly at the good spots like Indicators and Manu Bay.
I was gonna ask you, how did you notice the difference in surf?
Yeah, the surf is here really courteous. The absolute gentlemen, even, you know, I will say, is where they are considerate, and they look around and they know if you are lined up and paddling for the wave. And in some cases, they'll even encourage you to go, and that's not so common in Raglan.
Because there's plenty of waves there as well.
That's so true.
It's often, like you get waves very often. I have surfed in Raglan only a few times, but it's true that the crowd was more scary than here, I think. But because here I feel like I am a local from Spain, but local to New Plymouth.
Yeah.
And I guess in Raglan I was feeling that sense of I am not a local.
Oh, yes, and I really get that. And even though I did know a lot of the locals out on the surf at Raglan, I felt like I would still have to assert myself even to get a wave, you know, to call out, I've got it, and to just really own a ride with confidence. Whereas here in New Plymouth, I'm enjoying the atmosphere a lot more. I'm more relaxed. And it's taught me to really be also a lot more considerate of others and compassionate of other people when they're learning. And just making sure that, you know, the group around you is also getting waves as well as myself.
Mm. What's your favorite wave in New Plymouth?
Oh, I've only just started venturing out, right? I quite like Fitzroy. The banks down there are really good. I've found a couple of good waves down at Belt Road. That's probably my favourite because it's closest to home. So I've been just learning to take off on the left-hander out at Belt Road. Yeah, it's really good. I've been up the coast and I've surfed some secret spots out there. I can't say too much about that. found a couple of spots. I think it was Rocky Lefts that I had a go on out there. It was quite good. I've been surfing out Arrawatta again on the left-hander, a couple of times on the right, but being a goofy foot, I kind of tend to find the left-handers and go for them.
Yeah, I'm goofy as well.
Oh, nice, yeah.
But that's good that you enjoy the community, friendly community of New Plymouth, yeah. Very nice. Could you talk before we start this session, you were talking about the dance that you teach.
Yes.
Could you talk about a little bit more about that?
Awesome, thank you. So I'm a NIA dance teacher. NIA, it's an acronym, N-I-A, for neuromuscular or neuro-integrated action. So it was sort of began around the 1980s. And very big in America, but also overseas in Germany and in Spain. A lot of countries around the world that you go to, you could just Google NIA dance near me and find a class. So NIA it's a very low impact, choreographed to music style of dance. The NIA technique incorporates all the different muscle groups of the body, but mainly concentrates on creating ease and creating comfort while the person is dancing. So I have a few different ways of saying, okay, it's a dancer's choice as to how big or how small you would like to make the movements. And I'm encouraging people to modify and adjust and to change the choreography that I'm offering to suit their body's way. So that really is the promise of the NIA technique, whereas people can come in and celebrate their uniqueness and their own fitness level. They can dance bigger or smaller. So with the NIA technique, I've worked my way up through the belt levels, so similar to martial arts. There's white belt, green belt, blue belt, brown belt, and black belt. So I'm a black belt now in the NIA technique, and that has allowed me to branch out into a specific area that resonates with me. And for me, that's been older adults. I say older like 50 plus, that's still pretty young. I'm only 52, but and I had a bit of a calling like about 8 years ago that I would do a dance for Parkinson's people. So my grandfather had Parkinson's. I spent a lot of time with him rock hunting. He's a greenstone carver, or was a greenstone carver. And in my time with him, I discovered Parkinson's disease. My grandfather had Parkinson's. And after he passed away, that sort of, you know, that still resonated with me. And then I discovered, wow, dance for Parkinson's. And so I used the Nia technique and the choreography and music to bring a dance for Parkinson's people. And that's what I'm doing here now in New Plymouth. Yeah. So yeah. I've started a class down at the Fitzroy Surf Life Saving Club every Wednesday at 11 a.m. And I've discovered over the last month that there are other neurodiverse people in the community that are contacting me and saying, hey, look, you know, my mother-in-law has dementia. I have my father here. He's recovering from stroke. Would that be okay for your class? And I've said, yes, absolutely. People with early dementia, it's a fantastic class for them. There's a lot of cross-lateral movements and movements that connect the feet and the hands at the same time, or maybe in sort of bilateral patterning as well. So, you know, the opposite hand and the opposite knee might tap. I think things like that to really help reorganize the flow and the harmony in the brain. So this is primarily really good for all of us. And in some countries, they even teach this bilateral patterning for babies as they grow to get them to crawl properly. Mm-hmm. So in my training, I discovered all sorts of different movements within the Carter sequence or the dance sequence, as it is with the music, that I can make it really specific for people who are neurodiverse.
And it's also for children, or it's mainly for adults?
I just teach adults, so no, that's a great question, Alina. Mm. Sometimes I have, mums come to me and say, oh, could you teach my child? I have actually had some autistic children at one stage in my class in Raglan, and that was absolutely welcome. I mainly just teach adult classes.
Yeah, it's because I know it's quite good, like you said, the coordination and how the hands and the feet are moving, and it's so important for neurodiverse children. And I think it will be great if you can do that. You know, I can send you some clients.
Okay.
It's quite good, because the mothers nowadays, you know, they need something for their children, especially if they are neurodiverse and there is not so much movement as a group, you know.
And how can people find you? Do you have a website or social media?
Yes,
if someone is listening and perhaps they didn't know that that class was happening, or they want to work with you one-on-one, I don't know if you do that. How cool. Do they contact you?
Okay, so I have Nia in New Plymouth on Facebook. So that's just N-I-A in New Plymouth is our Facebook page. You can see that probably 90% of the followers and dancers that you'll see there are actually from my Hamilton and Raglan classes that I sadly had to leave behind. But I've taken that social media page with me so that I can advertise. Oh, there it is, Elena's just
I found it. Yeah, beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, otherwise, if you're hearing this now and you know where Fitzroy Surf Life Saving is, I do a 9:30 a.m. class near Move to Heal on Wednesday mornings, every Wednesday, even during the holidays. And so we have a smallish group as I'm just getting started in that class, and that's for everybody. And so I have a couple of ladies there now, sort of 50 years and over is the average age, even some older than, you know, 75 in their 80s. It's all welcome. And then at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, every Wednesday is my Nia for Parkinson's or Freedom Dance, I've called this. So, and welcoming other neurodiverse people.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's great. Yeah,
I would love to know more. And I always wanted to come to your classes. And now that I have you here, I have to come and just see how you do it. I love Zumba. Maria and myself, we go to Zumba.
We
love dancing. So whatever it's dance,
Well, yeah, I've often had people say, "Oh, what are you doing there? Is that Zumba?" And I can see just from looking that it is quite similar to Zumba. I guess, you know, it'll be a dancer's choice as to dance both and see what their own preference and what differences they might notice. And I'd love to also tell you guys about the social fun group that I've just started as well. So I've been going for the last couple of months. And I've been so thankful to the Tulips Taranaki group. They are the Parkinson's group here in New Plymouth. And they've got three people who've given their time to come along and volunteer for the social support group that I've just set up. So that's at 12:15 p.m. on the second Wednesday of the month. It's free. Just come along. We have snacks and teas and coffees, and we just play games and have a fun chat for an hour or so and then go home.
That's amazing.
So if you have a neurodiverse person at home, feel free to bring them along. We have wheelchair walker access there. Of course, we have beautiful views down at the Fitzroy Beach, looking over the Fitzroy Beach. And I'd just also like to say thanks very much to the admin at Fitzroy Surf Life Saving Club for allowing me to use their space for my classes and just being really generous, especially when I ask them for the extra hour and a bit for our social catch-up group.
That's amazing. You do so many things for the community, and obviously you integrated really well here. So
yeah, making myself at home.
You made yourself at home. Totally. Yes. And I wanted to ask you regarding your move in Australia, because you said you were four, right, when you moved to Australia, and then you were 10.
I was 6 months old just a baby. When we moved to Western Australia, and we moved to Newman, which is in the middle of the Nullarbor Plain, so it's in the desert. It's a desert in Newman.
Wow, how is that? I've never heard about that desert. Do you remember?
I remember as a child. There was just dirt roads, no tarsiel. Not very many trees, of course, so just, Spinifex rolling around. Mm. Just all the houses in the town, there weren't a lot of houses, but they were one of three different designs. They were like a poured earth home that would handle the different, very cold at night and then hot in the day, desert style weather. And the town, it is a mining town. My dad was a engineer in the mine, that was the main reason that my family moved there. I just remember my dad doing all kinds of weird hours at work, and my mum would do her best to water the lawn, so we had a lawn so that us kids could play on the lawn, and she used to sit and play a guitar and we'd kind of sing and dance and stuff and round on the lawn. So those are my early memories of Newman, and then moved to New Zealand when I was nine.
Right. But I imagine how that impacted your life, right, when you were small.
It was really very small town, and we never went anywhere. And I remember my sisters and I would say to Dad, "Hey, can you take us to the beach? We'd see photos of the beach, and he'd go, no, it's too far, you know, it's like 10 hours drive and big waves and, you know, you don't want to go there. So so I think I'm making up for lost time when I come to New Zealand, and I'm like, yeah, where's the beach?
You have that desire to see the beach.
Had you been back to Australia?
Yes, actually, my partner and I went to Western Australia last winter, and we visited Newman, and it was just like amazing, deja vu. We even found the house that I grew up in, and it's still there. A lot of the houses have been pulled down because they weren't built of the original poured earth designs, and those ones that were are still there. So of course, it's bigger now. There's two different schools. There's even a high school there. There's a shopping centre. They've got tar-sealed roads. So, and I sent my dad a little video when I was there, and he said, you know, by jingoes, the trees have grown. So,
he was not expecting that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a big changer when you are small. And I see also with our kids, you know, they were growing in Romania and now here. And I just imagine how it would be for them, you know, if we move somewhere else one day or we stay here, because they know so many cultures and what kind of impact has this on them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of snakes and spiders, poisonous snakes and spiders that we would have to be careful of every day growing up in Newman. And we had a little safe house just down the road. Everybody knew where it was. And there was a nurse there most of the time to help you if you got bitten by a snake or a spider. And when my parents said to me, we're going to move back to New Zealand and we can grow a garden, which was unheard of.
Heaven, huh?
Yeah, and there's no snakes and, you know, not really any poisonous spiders. And I remember saying, what are we doing here?
Let's go. Let's go now.
Yeah. Let's move now back to New Zealand. That's amazing, yeah. And because time is running very fast, I was thinking, would you like to ask her the last question?
Sure. So normally we ask our guests, what would they recommend to someone that moves to New Plymouth or New Zealand, for example, from other country, so that they can make themselves at home? What would be your tips
for that person? Okay. I would recommend choosing something in your life and your country that you're living that already brings you happiness. Something that you feel connects you to community and to the planet itself, and take that with you in whatever way you can, bring that with you. So I talked to a lady the other day, and she said that she bought her two cats from America with her when she moved here. And she said that was the best thing that she did. So, you know, that's, she had to bring an animal all the way. But, you know, anything that you can bring with you will make you feel like you're at home straight away. And that can be a time of finding something that's really special to you and honouring and remembering that, and then finding a way to bring that to your new town.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And what did you bring from Raglan? The question is,
what's on your board?
I bought my surfboard. Yeah, the seeds, absolutely the seeds. And some of those seeds are the seeds that I was growing in my garden at Mount Maunganui when I was living there, you know, in my 20s. So, yeah, I still have some of my heirloom tomato seeds that I've been growing year after year. And, you know, I love that because, you know, they've known different climates, they've known different soils, and they've had to adapt just like me, you know?
Just like you.
Yeah.
Adapting seed, you are, Belinda. Beautiful. Wow. That's amazing. Anything else to add or to our listeners?
Yeah, really thankful to be here in New Plymouth and to have this opportunity. So I was feeling a little bit homesick, actually, you know, off and on when I first came here. And then I would go out into the garden and just, again, find that reconnection and remind myself of things that were important to me. And that's what has grown those things that are important to me, and now I feel, yeah, really thankful to be here. And thank you very much, you guys, for hosting us today.
Thank you for coming and sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Belinda. And please share with us your information regarding the groups that you have, the Parkinson, and also looking forward to come and see you one time dancing. Maybe I bring Maria.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds great, you guys.
Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, and see you next time. Same time, same place. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.